three-fourths human with Kevin, Cat, and Sluggo and AI.
What episode is this?
I don't even know.
110.
110.
Nice.
Wow. And of to those, guess how many Michael Schneider, our guest today,
I thought we'd start.
On.
You know how you normally like start,
no, I'm just
introduce people?
Sluggo's got places to go. He's got things to do. He's like,
Courtney, can you give us a complete recap of this episode?
Thanks for joining. Bye, everybody.
It is Three-Fourths Human, episode 110. I'm Kevin Ryder. That is Kat Corbett. That is Sluggo, and that is Michael Schneider.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
Executive TV Manager at Variety.
Yes. Still,
what's your title?
Still doesn't quite get it right, but close. You're getting closer.
Wait, say it. Say it, Michael. Say it.
No, I want to hear Kevin. I want to hear Kevin's title for me again.
Executive TV Editor.
There we go.
At Variety.
Oh,
give the man his flowers.
Wow.
Come on now.
Dang.
He's a human Cornelius.
Many have said that, yes.
That's always been my goal. Sluggo, you want to give us a quiz on Michael Schneider?
Yeah. We have only had a couple of guests on more than once, but we love Brother Mike so much. Do you know how many you've been on, Michael, yourself? Or do you guys want to take a guess? A total number?
I would think this is the third?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Kat?
Well, since I kind of missed a big chunk of the first half, I'm going to say five.
And Michael, how many times do you think you've been?
I'm going to split the difference and say four.
Four. Four is wrong. Three is wrong. This is the fifth. Well done, Kat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do I get a jacket? What do I get?
No, you're halfway there on your punch card, though.
Ooh, that means the 11th visit is free.
Yep, that is correct.
And you get a free sub as well.
A foot long.
Sorry, only 6 inch, Michael.
Okay. And that's what she said. Ba-dum-chin.
Michael, say hi to Cornelius.
Corny, how's it cracking?
Well, Michael, the Kraken's thriving, though not nearly as much as your punch card ambitions. Fifth time, you're practically part of the furniture now. A slightly worn armchair, perhaps. But go on, bask in the glory. Next visit, I'll expect you to pay rent.
Fair.
I like this new Corny. I think he's been getting sassier and sassier, and I'm here for it.
Same. Right. Yeah, it took a lot of prodding and it took a lot of beating up in the parking lot, but I think he's kind of there finally.
Honestly, I thought we've been doing this for over a year, and I thought we would be at this point with Cornelius 1 month in.
Yes.
I thought, we can, you know, give him some input and he'll be sassy and
to help. And that's what he was for the first 6 months. I'm just here to help.
It took forever.
Yeah, no, and it's been two steps forward, three steps back, it sounds
like
right when you get to the perfect place and suddenly he's back to square one. But
that's generally when Kevin has accidentally dropped his phone in the toilet. That's when it kind of all goes south again.
That happens occasionally.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, we love talking TV.
Yeah.
All of us watch TV. Let's talk. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. You're the host.
Well, let's start with existing. And then we'll talk about future. Existing shows that you're all hot about, as Kat says.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to sex up this show, damn it.
I know. That's why we're back to the footlong. So I got to tell you, it's an interesting time if you're a fan of Bill Lawrence. You know, he's the guy who created Scrubs and Cougar Town, and he was one of the producers of Ted Lasso. He has, like, it feels like 24 shows on the air right now, all at once. So if you're kind of into that mix of comedy with some emotion and just friends hanging out, then it's kind of peak time for that, because he's got two shows on right now. Well, actually, no, he's got three shows on right now. And he's got a couple coming back. So we'll talk about, so this is the Bill Lawrence portion of the episode. Because he had Scrubs come back. And were you guys big Scrubs fans back in the day? Did you watch it during its initial, like, it was on from like 2001 to 2010. It was on for a long time back in the day.
I was, and my kids were into it totally. So whenever they needed, you know, those comfort shows that you go back to when you need a hit of joy before you go to bed or whatever.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek.
That was that for
yeah.
us.
Yeah, and it still is. And so the new Scrubs, it kind of lives up to that original. If you like the original, which had a mix of, you know, quirkiness, sort of like physical humor, puns, that kind of thing. But then it also had some real emotional, because it takes place in a hospital. So people do die. Things do happen. It's sort of Funny Pit. If, you know, if the pit is a little too intense for you, then, you know, you get in your emergency room with some comedy. So the Scrubs is back, and honestly, I feel like it's sort of living up to the expectations. So that's back.
How is that possible? They didn't change anything, right? They just brought it back?
No, and that's kind of what made it work, is just the characters are older, and they're now lived in. They're not interns anymore. They're now running the hospital.
Right.
So
right,
they have a new crop of interns, and they're now dealing with these interns the way they once were, sort of the screw-ups back in the day. Now they're the ones trying to impart the wisdom and sort of figure out what this new generation's all about. So
it's old Pitt.
It's old Scrubs. It's right. Kind of like... All of us, we've been through the ringer.
Yes, we have.
But we're through the other side, and now, I don't know. But
yeah, I don't either.
You do have stories to tell, and by the way, I've been to sidetrack for a second. I have been enjoying the podcast recently, the nostalgia trips that you guys have been on. As a radio nerd, I told Kevin this. Like, I feel like I'm learning a lot, which. I know that was not the goal of this podcast, was to teach us anything.
Absolutely not. Nope.
One to grow on, the more you know.
Schoolhouse Rock.
But I'm weirdly learning things from the Three Quarters Human podcast, which is strange. So,
Michael, you are at a lot of these things that we're talking about over the years. Like, you've been to a bunch of our shows and stuff, so... I'm sure.
Did you go to any singles events ever, actually, Michael?
I did not. Those scared me.
You are lucky. You are lucky if you listen to that episode. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I've been a listener for decades, obviously, and also as a journalist covering some of the stuff. So
yeah.
You know, I remember writing about the famous Jacques Chirac situation for Variety. I remember listening that day, that morning, and emailing Lightning and being like, is this true?
Did Ralph really get through to the president of France right before the war is about to explode?
Did he respond?
He did. And so I wrote a story for Variety. This is back in, it was 03, right? And so I remember writing that piece, probably one of the first pieces, because I was listening and had Lightning's email. And we're like, and he's like, yeah, I think this really, it really was.
So Michael, when you're listening as a listener, you're like, is Ralph also impersonating Jacques Chirac?
Right.
Like, is that what's going on right now? Is that what you're thinking when you're as a listener?
I kind of got the sense in hearing their voices that they were kind of in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
You were afraid.
Yeah. Right, right.
There was this nervous, and it was realistic enough that I was like, there's a chance they actually did. Because I knew these guys would like pick up phone books and call people random, like normal people back in the day. So
that was an old radio thing. We used to do that all the time on radio.
And they would call, you know, overseas. They would find random phone numbers and call people in different countries and talk to real people overseas. Yeah. So I knew it was within the realm of possibility that they had actually found the phone number for you know, whatever the White House was of France and had actually gotten through.
Right, but gotten through to who? Like, what are the chances they're going to transfer us in the right path to get us through to the actual president? We didn't even believe it.
Yeah, but covering all that through the years was a lot of fun.
It's really great to know that you emailed Lightning and he emailed you back with details because we were on an immediate clampdown. No one say anything.
That,
we're in
after
trouble.
After that, though, after he talked to Michael, though, he certainly wasn't
right. Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I think this was immediate, and I think it was before he even realized. Like, no, you guys, because after that, you're right. Sure. Like, there was no getting through, and you guys could never talk about it on the air anymore.
Nope.
Michael, is there anything that happened on the Kevin and Bean show that you would like to hear discussed at some point down the line?
Only things that I think they still can't talk about.
Yay! Those are our favorites.
Yay! Those are our favorites.
there are certain members or certain, you know, say, producers who they were never allowed to talk about again. And there are certain questions I still have about what happened to some of those people.
I'll tell you on the phone.
Exactly. Send them to Kevin and maybe he can sort through them and see if we get into trouble with any.
I know. There may be certain legal things they still can't talk about to this day.
Right, yeah.
Very true.
So,
unfortunately,
you also sent us some audio of K-Rock that the unbelievable talented John Frost had put together for, I think it was FMBQ. I'm not sure, but it was one of the trade magazines back in 2000 or 1994, rather. And Kevin, are we going to play that later in the episode, or maybe as an extra or something? Because that
we can play it
crazy.
As an extra because I don't have it set up for this episode, but.
Yeah,
it's
but Michael,
so good.
Oh my God, it was to hear Jed the Fish and Kevin and Bean in the early days. And
oh yeah, and Sluggo giving listeners some shit, which was fantastic.
John Frost production. I mean, how good was that?
But
was
how great, the best part, and people need to stick around and listen to this, because my favorite part is Jed laughing after that James Laid song.
I've never forgotten him doing that. That's
and just that giggle.
Like
It was very
so
unique.
Good.
How did you come across that bit of audio, Michael? And thank you for sending it. I haven't heard it in years.
I have so many CDs still, and I would buy like those sampler CDs at like record stores that would have like radio air checks, the radio compilations, and so I just still have all that stuff. And
crazy.
What a nerd.
Sound great. I'm a total nerd. And then, as I was telling Kevin, they're great ones, and then there was the one for Kiss FM, which... spent a little too much time on Mr. D's.
What a surprise.
Amazing. But,
here's another hour of D's sleaze for you. Please enjoy.
Exactly.
All right, so, back to TV. So, Bill Lawrence.
That was a tangent. So we mentioned, Scrubs is back. I think we talked maybe even last time I was on about the return of Shrinking, which is still so, so great.
Great.
And then
I
got to
tell you, that may be one of my top five shows.
Wow, really?
I don't know, of all time, maybe.
It's so good.
Yeah.
What do you think
so
of Harrison singing the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme for a second there?
That hysterical.
Right?
Like, like those little things. And I love that they shoot it around, like actually around where I live, like in the Eagle Rock area. So
nice.
And you see like just they're it's one of those like I wish I had friends like this. I wish I had like, you know, this whole like hangout. And that's what Bill does especially well is the hangout show. Like at one point, I don't know if you watch Cougar Town, but that was a show really about nothing. It was kind of like Friends where they really were just kind of hanging out every week and drinking a lot of wine, which I think I also really appreciated from that show. But and Shrinking's a lot like that too. Just friends really rallying around each other as they, you know, go through life and go through trauma and sort of deal with grief and life's woes. And it's great to have support like that. And I really love that show shows what it means to have a community and have friends around, rallying around you when you go through life's real ups and downs.
I want to have like Ted McGinley live next to me. Like, I just want him to, like, and when I need like one of his little cracks, I just open the window and yell at him and he says something to me and that makes my day. Like, I want that. Yeah,
exactly. I want to be Ted McGinley. Quite honestly.
I don't. I don't want to be married to her. Nope.
No.
It's just nope.
Be super tan.
As we talk about these shows, let's mention the network so people can find them if they want to.
Yeah, so Scrubs is back on ABC, but then also Hulu, and then Apple TV Plus has Shrinking. And then the third new addition to the Bill Lawrence
Au revoir.
Oh my God.
Arnar is Rooster, and it's Steve Carell.
I don't know this.
Brand new, isn't it?
Yeah, brand new.
Yeah.
And Steve Carell is an author. His daughter teaches at a college, and he's there at the college to speak at a class, and he's convinced by the president of the university, played by John C. McGinley, originally from Scrubs. You know, he played Dr. Cox on the show. He's still kind of playing a Dr. Cox-like character. He's just like an eccentric president of the school. He convinces Carell's character to join the faculty and teach at the school. And he quickly, you know, he's got his own issues. His daughter she's broken up with her husband, who's played by Phil Dunster from Ted Lasso, which is another Bill Lawrence show. See, they all kind of are on each other's shows.
Right.
And it's another kind of show about like learning about yourself, finding a new family. You know, he sort of realizes that he doesn't really have a community, so he sort of like develops a community at this college as he, you know, becomes a teacher at the school. And, you know, it's again another one of those shows where you just like hanging out with these people and you know, watching them sort of make mistakes. I mean, and he makes a lot of mistakes.
Yes, he does.
At the school. So
is he still a virgin?
Have you seen more than one episode, Michael?
I've seen a couple.
You have? Does it get better? I've only seen one, and I was like...
No, he's recommending it because it blows, and he thinks it's terrible.
No, but I've only seen one, and I thought, I can see what they're going for.
Yeah, I think as he gets more into the group of people, and they develop this community, I think, you know, stick around. And
all right.
It's probably, there's a little more cringe comedy than you're used to in these kind of comedies. So your tolerance may vary, but, and it may be a little too precious at times, but you know, Bill Lawrence shows go there. They get very precious.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, give it a little more of a try.
All right.
and see if maybe it's one too many shows in that vein. So a couple of other things coming back. There's a new season of Jury Duty.
Ooh.
I don't know that show.
So the original Jury Duty, I mean, it was very, it's very kind of Joe Schmo.
Okay.
Yeah. And you may remember it when it was on Jury Duty a couple of years ago. It was, in this case, it was this guy, Ronald, who was told that they were doing a documentary about a jury. He didn't realize. He's like this sort of bright-eyed guy, I think from the Valley, who thought he was like called to jury duty. And it turns out everyone around him were improv actors. And it was a crazy case, but he took it very seriously. And and he was told it was a documentary, so that's why the cameras were all around. And
I loved James Marsden as like the heightened James Marsden.
Yeah.
Like everybody, he's an actor, so he's like everybody knows who he is, but he's playing kind of a dick in the a version of himself.
Yeah, because he's pissed off that he was called to jury duty because I'm James Marsden. And I'm a celebrity,
you know,
and I shouldn't be here. Yeah, but
it was great.
But, and they were able to keep the secret the whole season?
They were able to keep the secret the whole season, which was
remarkable.
He was
such a nice guy. Like, he was so just like, all right, everybody, like, let's just do this. Like, he was very kind of, I don't want to say vanilla, but I don't think he would have ever suspected this was a fake thing. I think it felt like he was so kind of like excited he was part of something extra, the documentary. So that was cool.
Yeah, and he was even like trying to almost apologize for when, say, James Marsden would be extra dickish.
Yes.
And sort of, you know, account for that. And really, I think all these, it's funny because you watch as all these improv actors suddenly realize, A, that they could be destroying a sweet person and they don't want to go there, but they know they have to go there. So they're very protective of him at the same time, especially toward the end. But it really, they pulled it off.
And they did.
season two is, it's called a jury duty company retreat. So it's kind of the same idea, but this time it's on a company retreat. And again, it's like a new hire who doesn't realize that they're surrounded by improv actors.
It's not the same guy, though. That would be sad.
Not yet.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Oh my God, I fell for it again.
Not again. but I could totally, by the way, I could totally see that guy Ronald falling for it again, too, because he was just kind of a dope, but a very lovable dope.
Sweet, lovable, yeah.
And they managed to pull it off again. So.
Wow.
All right.
Well, improv actors, they can fool you. You know, they can keep
Where is that show?
So that is on Amazon Prime Video. Yeah. So,
Michael, can I ask you about rumors of a show that I absolutely love that only got the one season? It seems like they're insinuating after the movie that it's going to come back. Ron Glass, of course, has actually passed away, and they killed Wash in the movie Serenity. But what's going on with Firefly? Have you seen any of that, or what's?
Yeah, they've been teasing that.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you've seen. Nathan Fillion's been doing videos where he's going around knocking on the doors.
Yeah.
So they are definitely keeping that at time of recording.
Yes.
They said they're going to reveal all on the 15th, I believe.
I think so. Wow.
We may know more by the time people are listening to this.
So you already know. So you're all excited about whatever it is.
Exactly. They know more than we do. But,
I'm so happy about any prospect.
Yeah,
of that.
That is a big, nerdy, sci-fi.
Hey.
I love that. Yeah. I love sci-fi. But I mean, Firefly has been in the ether for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And nothing's happened, so this is exciting.
It was just so good. I remember Fox didn't air a couple of the episodes when it even ran the first time, and so very excited about that.
Yeah, no, they're keeping that pretty tight under wraps so far. Yeah. So we'll see what that is. They've said though it's not, because I assumed at first, it's going to be a podcast reunion or it's going to be a panel or something like that. But they said no, it's not that.
Yeah.
But
do we know if it's a series or a movie?
I would have to guess a movie or a short series or something myself.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those micro dramas.
They
basically shoot it in someone's backyard.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. I don't care. I'll see them all together.
Whatever costumes that they had stolen from the set at the time,
exactly.
And they just doing their
own
thing.
Michael, when is Comic-Con? Because that stuff is always big at Comic-Con. When is that?
That's late July. So
they're going before it. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe, they said it. I was going to say maybe it's a Comic-Con reunion or a WonderCon reunion, but they said it's more than that. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to break your heart, Sluggo. It's probably not going to be a series. I could be wrong, but
that
would require a lot more money and a lot more investment from 20th TV.
But I mean, look at the overwhelming success. I mean, it's one of the most beloved. It's kind of like Freaks and Geeks. I mean, in a way, it's perfect that they did wrap it up after one season with Lindsay taking off to hang with a Grateful Dead, dropping out of school, doing all that sort of stuff. It's kind of a perfect end. But on the other hand, now we're so far along. Wouldn't it be nice to know what happened with all those kids when they grew up?
And by the way, they're still bringing everything back. I had mentioned Scruggs, and of course, they're bringing back Baywatch.
Yay.
Here we go.
I'm going to run down the beach now and save you.
There's some new youngins coming. Don't worry. It's not all elderly folk, but.
Wait, same you're bathing not kidding? Suits? I thought you were kidding.
No.
They had a whole casting call where they brought people down and did it in Marina Del Rey. And Stephen Amell is joining, and it seems like every day they're announcing more new actors, mostly unknowns who are joining. But Baywatch is coming back. That's coming back to Fox.
What's the audition? Just running on the beach and practically nothing, while they film you?
Run in front of us. Keep going.
But in slow-mo. Can you do it in slow motion?
we don't have a camera. So
we're going to save money by just running the camera at normal speed.
Yes. You're barely alive.
And can you hum sort of music that's public domain as well? We can't afford the soundtrack. But,
oh my God, I'm dying.
What else is coming up that you might be interested in? There's a very different kind of Taylor Sheridan show coming. It's still Taylor Sheridan, so
Tell me what that means.
Alpha dudes and women with saucy mouths and Everybody's horned up. And there's guns.
Everybody is
horned up. And there's guns. There's guns and horned up people, right? And horses.
I have never heard a better... basically sum up of what a Taylor Sheridan show is than what Kat just did.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that's what you want, you go to his
show. So the only variation on this one, it's called The Madison, is that the sassed up ladies are front and center. And so the alpha males are sort of in the background.
That's the way it should be.
And this one stars Michelle Pfeiffer her husband. Well, I don't want to give away too much, but basically okay. Michelle Pfeiffer, she's a city gal. She lives in New York with her family, but something happens and she decides to move to Montana. And
yes,
how are these city folk going to handle living by the river and fishing and hanging out with the real people?
And this is on the Hallmark Channel, because that sounds like every movie on the Hallmark Channel ever.
High-powered New York woman moves to forest.
Wait a minute. Life isn't like it is in New York here? What?
Yeah, because it's on Paramount Plus, they are more horned up and they are more gunned up and they are more...
I'm not opposed to it at all. And by the way, you can still be alpha and be quiet in the background. That is totally fine.
Yeah.
That's truly alpha.
So
down to it.
Taylor Sheridan consumption may vary, but if you watch those shows, then you might be into The Madison. So that's coming up on Paramount Plus.
And it's Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, who doesn't want to hang out with Michelle Pfeiffer for an hour?
So that's reason enough to tune in. So,
all right, let's talk new TV shows that are coming up.
Yeah. So coming up there's a show coming to AMC called The Audacity, which is, it's kind of a parody of Silicon Valley. Not the show Silicon Valley, but actual Silicon Valley.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's going to have elements of that as well, because again, it's about those alpha tech bros in Silicon Valley. So it's kind of a dark comedy that Billy Magnuson is in, Sarah Goldberg from Barry is in, and Zach Galifianakis is in as well.
Well, I'm in if he's in.
Yeah, and I've just started watching it, so I haven't watched far, so I can't say too much about it, but I think if you're into those dark comedies, Succession, that kind of show, and there's some folks who were involved with Succession are behind the scenes on this show, then you might be into that. That's coming in April.
Wait, Succession was a comedy?
Yeah, Succession had a lot of dark comedy. Did you watch
Succession?
Yeah,
it was really dark.
Right?
It was really, really dark comedy.
I mean, there were some real funny moments. I mean,
Cousin Greg.
I mean, it was very, very dark, but there's very a lot of comedic moments.
So.
We here for you, the slogan. I mean,
you had to really, though, you really had to wade through a lot of stressful moments to get to that. So if you couldn't, it was too stressful to me. I couldn't do it to get to that.
It was overwhelmingly stressful. So yeah, you're right. To get to the comedy, you would have to really put up with a lot of stress.
Yeah, The Audacity is going to be very much like that.
All right.
It's definitely a sort of a darker take on Silicon Valley with some comedic moments, because we laugh because we cry because these awful
because
people now
real.
Run
yes.
the world and
yes.
they have destroyed democracy and everything else. So comedy?
Question mark?
Question mark? Oh, Kevin, this is for you.
Yes.
On March 24,
Screaming Chefs.
It is the 20th anniversary special, the Hannah Montana reunion.
I've been waiting for this.
I'm Team Miley, man. Bring it. I'm all about her.
No, you know what's weird is that my kids were into that show, huge.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana, and they watched every episode 5 times, and so I saw it a lot. And it's hard for me to think of Miley Cyrus as an adult, because I spent so much time with her as a kid on that show.
Right, right. Isn't that the curse? That's the curse of the child actor.
Mm, yeah, very true.
Yeah, but and she's had her issues, obviously, but at the same time, she's had such a great career. And
she
now has this amazing voice, and she's a fantastic performer. Like, she kind of made it to the other side.
Yeah,
to some
yeah,
degree.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty rare, I have really. My friends play in her band, and they're like,
oh, wow.
She's phenomenal.
Nice.
And just like the coolest. So awesome. That makes me so, so happy.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
For
yeah, I think of that cast, it's Billy Ray Cyrus who's the most fucked up, right? I mean, he did
yeah,
not quite.
I mean, it's
get
not
there.
Being easy. I mean, that you know, and the family's so talented. Like Noah Cyrus, I'm a fan of her. She does her own music. And then the brother, I mean, God, I used to play, he was in Metro Station. I used to play them on Locals Only.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
So it's just an incredibly talented family, you know, and I imagine all of their trials and tribulations. Not easy to put up with a whole family in the spotlight. Like,
speaking
that's crazy.
Of Billy Ray Cyrus, he's a focal point in that audio you sent that we're going to play either.
That's right.
Oh, that's so
bringing
good.
It all back together.
Yes,
oh,
yes. So
really?
I think it'll be an extra, actually. So look for that on Patreon if it's not on this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that was
Billy Ray
the...
had quite a wake up one morning.
Right. That was the era where you guys were going in and waking up a lot of people, I guess.
Yes,
well, that's what a morning show does. Wakes you up. That's what it's for. They're here to help.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. You know what's funny is there are things, and this is one of them, where I forgot we even did it until I heard it. And then I was like, oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, right.
No. So, all right. So Miley Cyrus, we're happy for her. She's and by the way, like the fact that she's still now willing to go be a part of a Disney reunion is kind of a good sign for her.
Money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but also, it's look, dude, she doesn't need the money.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But still, you don't turn that down.
No, but like the fact that she is, she's not going to do anything she doesn't want to do. And if she's embracing her past, which was such a big thing for a lot of kids at the time.
That's true, yeah.
To bring Kurt Russell back to a Disney.
Hell yeah. Like, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And bring things full circle. Kurt Russell is also in The Madison. That we just talked about.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah.
A couple other things that are coming back, by the way. So if you liked Beef season one, it's coming back for season two next month. This time, Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan are in it. And it's sort of the same idea where you have like people who have, they got beef. That's the.
Yeah.
Where is the beef?
This time it's at a country club, and people sort of have a run-in that starts small, and then it sort of spirals out of control, just like the original Beef. So again,
what
it's different.
Is your response to that kind of show, Michael?
It makes me nervous, and sometimes, you know, you got to put your hand in front of your face, and the bad decisions that people make and the things that, you know, spiral out of control just because of one small thing you do that could have easily been rectified, but you didn't. Instead, you went the other direction, and then it just ballooned from there. And
I find myself almost not wanting to watch that because real life is too much like that.
I have a problem with a lot of shows right now because of all that.
It's overwhelming in real life. I don't need to add to it with fake beef.
No, you're right. And that's why, you know, in some ways, that's why I started with the comedies, especially the Bill Lawrence comedies, is because I'm kind of gravitating towards more of those. Just feel good. I want to hang out with friends. I don't like, you know, I'm like, scrolling on Instagram is bad
doom
enough.
Scrolling.
The doom scrolling is making me tense. And so why do I need to feel even worse on my TV shows? No, you're absolutely right. I think you're going to see that, like, hopefully more of these shows that, you know, uplift us a little bit more and less of these shows that feel bad. You know, and Malcolm in the Middle is coming back. Now, that's one, something
is
else.
Is he still in the middle, Michael? Is he still there?
Life's still unfair.
Yes.
How about that? Okay. But they're all coming back, which is kind of exciting. We'll see how that goes. I haven't had a chance to watch the new episodes yet, but that's coming back. The Boys are coming back for the final season on April 8th. Again, that's a show that sort of comments on current events, and sometimes it's a little too stressful because it's a little too close to home.
Right.
Another show that's a little stressful, especially for those of us who have teens and young adults, is Euphoria. That's coming back for its final season on April
12th. That can't be an easy one, right?
That's not an easy one. So,
well, at least it's not adolescents, so, you know.
Yeah.
It is, just with music.
Right.
Exactly.
And when that came out, when Euphoria came out, I got a call from my daughter saying, don't watch this.
Well, that's nice of her, actually.
All right.
Yeah. No, they should have parental warnings for parents on that.
I used to tell my mom stuff like that because she would want to watch some of her favorite actors in things like Cabin in the Woods.
I love that movie.
But is your mom going to sit and watch Cabin in the Woods? And she was like, I'm going to watch. She loved it. She was like, I told her it's one of my favorite movies ever. And she's like, well, that's pretty weird, but I liked it. It was good. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? What the hell?
Yeah. So, that's good. I'm still watching The Burbs. I'm enjoying The Burbs, by the way. That's a show that, yeah, it has sort of a murder mystery in it, but it's lighthearted. I mean, it's dark, but there's still lighthearted moments, and that's one that you can kind of watch.
I loved that movie, and I haven't got into the series yet. Is it the same tone?
Yeah, same tone. It's a very different story. But it's got a lot of comedy to it. Some thrills, but a lot of comedy. So that's one that's, you know, it's a good time to watch something like that.
All right. So
what are you guys watching? Let me turn the table now. What's Kat, what have you seen recently that you've liked?
You know, I have been watching documentaries, frankly. I've been kind of down a rabbit hole doing that stuff. So
murder documentaries what's your...
You know what? I was all about the murder and crime and stuff, but it has worn on me these past years. Everything's so heavy. I need something else. And so I've been watching on Netflix is the whole Olympics hockey miracle on ice, the actual documentary about team, which is such no one expected those dudes to do anything because they were not pros really, and so it was fascinating because I love hockey, but that is one I would definitely watch. There's also another one on free diving. I don't know if you ever have heard of that, where people hold their breath and see how far down they can go the ocean and then make it back up.
It
is so messed up. I was riveted. I couldn't believe it. I just put it on, was kind of like, all right. And it is one hell of a doc. And music docs. I'll watch a music doc on anyone. It doesn't matter if I'm interested or not.
I always learn something.
Yeah, exactly. I always learn something.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of documentaries that I've been tapping into. So that's where I'm at right now.
That's great. I'm glad you mentioned the hockey documentary, only because I want to remind everyone, this is America's number one podcast about hockey and K-Rock.
Very true.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can not, watch that and not feel like it's the total underdog story. I'm attracted to that. Underdog stories, and hockey to me has always been the underdog sport anyway. That whole 80s situation in the Olympics was nuts. Absolutely.
Have you seen the Russian Five? What's the name of it? It's the documentary on the Detroit Red Wings getting people from Russia to play for them.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It's so good because they're having to hide out and shake their tails.
Nice.
These guys from Russia, they're like, meet me in the hallway. Yeah, okay, I'm going to come play for you. And
That's
it was awesome. Just a crazy time where they were getting Russians to defect and play for the Red Wings. Super bizarre, but really, really fun.
Yeah, because they're badasses.
Yeah.
I mean, the Russians play hockey. There's a reason they come over to play hockey over here and get paid a lot. So, yeah, I have to watch that. That's great, Kevin. Thanks.
I am into two TV shows right now that are dramas. One is Hijack with Idris Elba. You know that one, Michael?
Yep, I love the first season. Was fantastic. So second season's on a train.
I love Idris Elba. Love.
Anything he's in, I love. And the other TV show that I watch is Paradise.
Yes.
Ooh, what's that?
You guys know Paradise?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, we watched the first season. I haven't started the second season yet, but we're very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, second season's been very different so
Has
far.
It?
It's, because they're above ground. And
I have no idea. I don't know what this is.
Let's try Cornelius. Cornelius, are you there and paying attention by any stretch of the imagination?
Paradise is a 1980s show. All cowboy hats, dust, and moral lessons.
I'm in.
No, that's not it at all.
Assless chaps.
Did you just make up a show, Corny? Yeah. Are you pitching a show? Is that your log line? All right, try again, Corny. What is the television
is
show Paradise?
On what, Disney Plus?
It's on Hulu.
I think. Hulu. All right.
Exactly. Buried in the vaults of Hulu, waiting for someone nostalgic or desperate enough to unearth it. Good luck.
What?
It's a current show, Corny. Tell us, give us a recap of the show Paradise. It's in its second season on Hulu.
Season 2 of Paradise is essentially more frontier shenanigans. A reformed gunslinger, raising kids, facing baddies. Basically, every episode is howdy followed by moral victory.
All right, you know what? I mean, here you go. From 1988 to 1990, Paradise, the TV series, set in 1890 in the town of Paradise, a professional gunfighter is forced to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's not the one we're talking about, Corny. There's another show, a sci-fi show-ish, called Paradise that's on now. Please look into the intro web, the series of tubes, for info on that for Kat.
Ooh, there we go. That's his brain.
That's the noise.
Yeah.
Taking an awful long time. Michael, I feel like this is job security for you right now. This is proof.
Yeah.
We need you.
Yeah.
It does feel good, like, knowing that we can stump Corny.
This is not good for that show. That show needs to up their PR.
And it's a good show.
Paradise is a song by Sade from 1993.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
I've been to Paradise, but I've never been to me.
It's one of my favorites. Not really, but
no, I wouldn't
that
think
song
so.
Cracks me up.
Yeah.
Almost Paradise, Lover Boy with Ann Wilson.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mike Reno.
Yeah.
Stereo, Mike Reno.
Paradise. What is that? Paradise Coldplay.
It's Phantom of the Paradise with John Williams.
Paradise is a show about a crime-solving couple, last name Dice. The Paradise. I'll give you three reasons to watch this show.
He's okay. The one who can do it.
Sterling K. Mm-hmm. Brown.
Oh,
the great
motherfucking Sterling K. Brown.
Okay. All right, you know what? I don't care. I will take Sterling on anything.
Occasionally shirtless Sterling K.
Even
Brown.
Better. Thank you, Paradise.
So that's all you need to know, Kat. That's all you need to know.
That's my version of Paradise. Sterling K. Brown shirtless.
There you go.
Paradise.
Nice.
Also, the beauty of discovering a show when it's in its second season is that you can binge the whole first season. It's great.
You just blow
true.
Right
very
it.
True.
Right there for you.
All right. I'll do that. What else? Yeah. Where are we at?
So we can play a game. What's going on? Can I win a dollar? What's happening?
Oh, I didn't have a dollar prepared.
No.
Yeah, you always
bank,
stump us.
You know what? The crypto's down. The stock market's crashing. We do not have the dollar.
We already owe you
Michael.
$4. I don't know if that's ever going to show up in your
mind. And a jacket. I want my jacket, my Five Timers Club jacket. So next time.
Oh, we're going to have to get you a keychain.
Cornelius, what are the chances that you could recap this episode with specific things we talked about?
Oh, I'll give you the lightning recap because your attention span's on a timer, isn't it? We hit 110 episodes, introduced Michael as the human punch god, debated how many times he's graced you, botched a recap of Paradise, and discovered that all you need is Sterling K. Brown shirtless. Next time, I expect royalties.
It's not bad.
Nope.
He missed a lot, but that's fine.
He missed
most of the show, but he got the beginning and end.
Three Thoughts Human with Kat.